Welcome to KABU, Ellen and Steven.
Happy to be here.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Well, you're both public school teachers in the Portland and Beaverton districts and members of the National Education Association, NEA, the largest union in the United States. At the NEA Annual Assembly this summer, held here in Portland, a resolution to cut ties with the Anti-Defamation League was passed by the members. Weeks later, the resolution was rejected by NEA's board of directors. So before taking up the resolution, can you say a little about your work as educators?
Sure, yeah. I am a high school special education teacher. I've been working in public education in various roles, though, for about 30 years. But for the last 11, I've been a special education teacher at the high school level.
I am an elementary school teacher in a Spanish English school immersion program. And I'm really big on teaching social studies in a way that is accessible to young learners. So, kind of breaking down the concepts of colonization and capitalism for young learners.
I think people often don't realize there's a developmental aspect to teaching that can involve introducing kind of what many see as complex and challenging topics, but at a level that students can understand throughout their educational development. So, what was the scene at the meetings here in Portland this year? It's a huge convention. It's called the Assembly, held annually. How many delegates or members were at the convention this year?
Yeah, there's somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 delegates that attend an assembly.
Can you describe the scene a bit before we talk about this resolution that was presented?
Yeah, we were all packed into a really large room in the Portland Convention Center. And the first day, the security actually had trouble checking us all in. So after that, I think they changed their protocol so that they could get us into the building more efficiently because there was just so many of us. And yeah, it was just a very, very crowded room with a few dozen people sitting at every state area.
So there's probably a social aspect to this and people coming together and maybe feeling your strength and your cultural presence as teachers. This annual meeting must have been something to behold, all those teachers in one convention hall.
Definitely.
Yeah, it can be pretty overwhelming. It really hits you hard the first time when you walk in and you realize just how many people are packed into one room. I would also say that I've attended several of these assemblies. They happen once a year in different cities across the country. And it's the place where NEA does some discussing, debating, and voting on some of the issues that members want to take up, or leadership specifically wants to bring up, but needs to get the representative assembly to vote for it. The representative assembly is supposedly the highest decision-making body of NEA above all other decision-making bodies, including the board of directors.
So that was an issue here. Ellen, did you want to say something about that, the decision-making process?
Yeah, just I think in the wake of the overturning of the decision by the NEA executive board, it feels very funny that they, brag about, oh, we're such a large democratic body, and then our democratic decision got overturned.
And there were, what, 10 or so resolutions before the assembly this year, is that right?
No, there were probably close to 100. We vote on things like bylaws, policies. Our resolutions are just belief statements. And then the category of motions that really get probably the most delegates engaged are called new business items. And those are usually for 1 year, although they can be extended. For 1 year, they are very specific action-oriented motions. So the NEA will do, and then fill in the blank.
So describe it was referred to as drop the ADL or boycott the ADL. There's different, I'm sure there's sort of language that was important in how to describe the resolution. But Stephen, can you start by describing the resolution and how it came about, the Educators for Palestine group within
Sure.
NEA, and how this resolution came before the assembly?
Yeah, so this came out of a group we call ourselves Educators for Palestine. And this particular group is sort of a subgroup of that. We were all NEA members, so we also have other educators who aren't NEA members in the larger Educator for Palestine group. But we were all NEA members, and we met throughout the year and had discussions and sort of came up with some strategies for what we wanted to bring to the NEA Representative Assembly. This is not the first Representative Assembly that we have met in preparation for and brought motions for. And this particular, so that the Representative Assembly here in Portland, we decided we would have three motions that we were going to make. And we were also going to plan a vigil for an evening, it's sort of outside of the official NEA Representative Assembly events. So we came prepared for those three motions. I'm having a little bit of a hard time actually remembering what the other two said exactly. I believe one was about protecting members from attacks. But the one that you're talking about, the ADL, basically called for NEA to stop using, promoting, or the word endorsing might have been in there too. I don't have the language right in front of me, the Anti-Defamation League.
Yeah,
So,
not use, endorse, or publicize materials from the
yes.
Anti-Defamation League or participate in ADL programs.
Right. So we didn't use the term boycott. That was actually a term that was sort of thrusted upon us. And the reasoning most likely was because once a motion is determined to boycott, then there is a very specific sort of unique process for how that gets adopted. And, you know, I don't want to be too cynical, but that really opened the door up for
Using that
any.
specific term.
And because there was ruled a boycott, that opened up the door for NEA leadership to basically to circumvent the will of the Representative Assembly.
So many people are familiar with Anti-Defamation League as generally progressive, or think of it as progressive, focused on civil rights. But you were raising broader issues around what the ADL is and what its stances are that make it problematic to bring their materials into curriculum. Can you say what the critique was and is of the ADL?
So yeah, I think the ADL has long been thought of as a credible organization that is really about fighting bias and bigotry. But after October 7th, one of the things that happened, and I have a specific anecdote to share, which is that I got a pop-up ad from the ADL on my phone, and I thought, oh, ADL, cool. So I opened it, and it said anti-Semitism is on the rise across the US. It's just spreading. And I was very concerned, so I kept reading. And then I realized that the statistics, the numbers they were using of the number of acts of hate against Jewish people, was actually just demonstrations for a ceasefire. And it's just,
Criticism of Israel.
yeah, and it's so ridiculous that they would count that as acts of anti-Semitic hate. So that's, I think, why people kind of started pushing against, like, okay, so what we don't say is just as important as what we do say. We have to explicitly distance ourselves from the ADL, because otherwise what happens is that as NEA, our reputation gets dragged down by the ADL's poor behavior, you know, of trying to sort of distort the truth.
And their use of the IRA definition that equates criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism. Stephen, can you say a little more or expand some on
Sure.
how ADL materials have found their way into the curriculum or educational materials available to teachers?
Yeah, I think Ellen's probably better at speaking to that, being a social studies teacher, but I would just add that in addition to the materials themselves being problematic, the organization is also very active in bringing about these complaints and attacks against educators and students who are speaking out and criticizing the genocide that is happening right now. And we have to be able to speak out against genocide, right? Like it's happening, and we can't be sort of afraid to say something because we might be accused of being anti-Semitic, right? We need to be able to do that. But the ADL is, I mean, they have filed complaints, Title VI complaints, which are civil rights complaints. They have pressured school boards to take action against teachers that they say are anti-Semitic just because they, you know, might teach Palestine or they might mention the Nakba or something like that. They might talk about settler colonialism, because guess what? Settler colonialism is related to the Israeli project in Palestine. So it's partly that they're materials, but partly that they're also actively attacking students and educators.
So, what issues came up among the members at the assembly and just the discussion that led to passing the resolution? Were there any tensions or conflicts at that level?
Yeah. So to be honest, some of the comments that were made, like, they don't even really bear repeating. Like, they're just kind of silly. A couple that I do recall, though, were, well, why are you singling out Israel? There are other governments that are doing bad things,
Right, the double
right? So,
standard issue.
right. So I mean, I think some of us that have been doing this, we refer to that as sort of the Black Lives Matter, the All Lives Matter sort of argument, right? Like, hey, if you're going to criticize one, you got to criticize them all. Otherwise, it's not fair, right? If you're
And
only
you
for
don't have the
saving,
right to speak, right?
yeah, right. I was going to say, if you're only for saving the rainforest, but you're not for saving the boreal forest in Alaska, or the then something's wrong with you, right? No,
Right.
I mean, we are free to choose, where we want to focus that. But of course, it is a unique situation, right? We are, our country, our government, our taxes are uniquely positioned to pressure and influence what's happening with Israel. So it's not just another sort of injustice that we're focusing on. And then, yeah, I mean, the other argument is just that, hey, the ADL has been around a long time. If you're gonna throw that out, you're probably being anti-Semitic if you're focused on that.
Right. Ellen, do you want to add anything to that, what you observed with the discussion?
Yeah, during the debate, I agree, kind of, they don't really bear repeating. It was just a lot of trying to frame us as like anti-Semitic, even though it was mostly Jewish speakers that were speaking in favor of dropping the ADL. But I do remember, I think just kind of sums it up. I remember at one point one of the Zionists said something about the Palestinian situation when they were kind of deflecting, the importance of talking about the genocide. And I thought that really just kind of said it all. I was like, see, the fact that you need to like beat around the bush by calling it a situation because you're afraid to say genocide, or specifically because you're actually trying to censor other people from saying genocide, kind of says it all. Like the fact that you just called it the Palestinian situation.
Right. It's like an all-purpose euphemism. So it passed, and then can you kind of continue with the story then, how it passed and then went to the executive committee or the board of directors, and then you were saying they framed it as a boycott, which gave them more latitude for deciding, and they had hundreds of organizations pressuring them at that level. How did you see that unfolding? And was this unique in any way?
Well, I think it's the first representative assembly that I've attended where we voted for what was deemed a boycott. So in that sense, it was unique, although I believe other boycotts have been voted on in the past, but maybe before my time as a delegate. The vote was close, and one of the things I noticed in the language from the president, NEA president, when she was weighing in on what the process was going to be afterwards, when she sent out an email, was she was very careful about saying it was a close vote. Now, that shouldn't matter at all, right? If we vote for something and it wins by one vote or it wins by a few thousand, we voted for it. If the majority of the representative assembly votes for something, it passes. Doesn't matter how many. But the fact that she was saying it was a close vote, I think sort of tipped, sort of she sort of showed her cards that she was positioning herself so that she could say, well, it could have gone either way, right? And
Questioning the
so we're just,
legitimacy of the vote. She was trying to be like, I'm not being that undemocratic.
right. I'm only being a
Exactly.
little
That's a little.
undemocratic.
But, a number of the NEA members, when I was reading some about the disappointment and the criticism of the executive committee, said, well, it was in a way a victory, too. Would you agree that in any way it was a victory, or how would you assess the outcome as maybe partially a victory, but also I think an expression of how rough this road is to confront these
Yeah.
issues.
It was absolutely a victory because so many more people now, so many more educators are aware of the issues around the ADL. So even though it got reversed, I'll bet some educators never heard that it got reversed. And others, even though they did, now know to pay attention, look more closely, and scrutinize the sources of the ADL. So it absolutely was a victory. But it also was really, it was a disappointment. It really showed a lack of democracy that's part of a bigger problem in our unions with democracy, right? We struggle with that in our own local unions and at the national level as well. And I think that this really demonstrated that. And, they'll argue that, well, we followed the process, we followed the bylaws, we have specific, standing rules, I think, about what we do when there is a boycott. But I think if you look closely, the president beforehand, she met with the CEO of the ADL. But I don't know that she went and met with anybody from Jewish Voices for Peace. I don't know that she met with any Palestinians, but she met with the CEO of the ADL. And then the executive committee, under her leadership, decided that they were going to go to the full board of directors with a recommendation that we overturn the representative assembly. And the board of directors rarely is going to be, there are a few people on the board of directors who will stand up and speak out against the executive committee's recommendations. But let's be honest. I mean, I think there are a lot of people on that board that will, they want to go along with whatever they're told by the leaders. And so they did.
And of course, we're seeing that in academic institutions and many organizations where the pressure at that level is immense around the Justice for Palestine movement, around criticism of Israel. And yet you're saying teachers kind of on the ground are dealing with this in a very different way and maybe responding to issues that students bring to the classroom, their communities bring, and feeling the pressure of being disciplined or sanctioned in some way, but also perhaps have a support of communities around this issue that is one important source of progress over time. The growth of the Justice for Palestine movement that probably manifests itself in the classroom.
Yeah,
What is it
absolutely.
like now going into the new school year, and particularly with pressures educators are feeling at all levels around the Trump regime and the not only going after educators who are speaking about the genocide in Palestine, but broader issues of racial justice, gender justice. There's pressure coming from all directions now from the right wing.
Yeah, I think this is where our unions become really important, and this is where pushing our locals and organizing each other within our locals becomes extremely important, because I have definitely noticed teachers really being kind of silent and passive about things, even though they have opinions about it, because they don't really want to. There's a lot of passiveness and like feeling like you just want to protect yourself and. But when people come together and are more organized, then people are a little bit more willing to be bold and speak the truth, right? So I think that aspect is, I think there's a lot of potential for teachers organizing that we need to harness. Yeah.
And I would
Yeah,
just
and
quickly add
go
to that,
ahead, Steve.
this whole experience really was a perfect illustration of why trying to appease I will just call them a racist organization like the ADL, trying to appease an organization like that doesn't work because NEA is still under attack, right? There have been congressional investigations launched now, and I don't know what the ADL is doing, but they're trying to dig into NEA's records and past motions that came up in the past. So it's not like, okay, ADL, we'll do what you say and then you'll be quiet about us. No, I mean we reversed course. We did exactly what they wanted them to, what they wanted us to do, and we're still under attack now. So
Right.
that just doesn't work.
Yeah. A lesson not learned by many leaders and administrators throughout this land. Well, I think part of organizing and supporting teachers is to having good resource materials, scholarly materials at different levels to bring into the classroom, to bring into curriculum. In closing, can you each speak to that? What some of the, I know there are many resources, but Ellen, do you want to say something about resource materials?
Yeah, Rethinking Schools has really gifted teachers with an amazing resource, which is called Teaching Palestine. And it's great because it is kind of like an armor, right? Like a shield that teachers can use for their academic freedom. Of course, it still gets, attacked anyway. Like Stephen was saying, they're never going to stop attacking us for any kind of reason. But at least it gives teachers. Beaverton Education Association held a workshop specifically to discuss the contents of this book and to educate teachers on the background of the history of Palestine and the roots of Zionism. And it really t teachers, again, like I said, this is why it's important for us to organize our teachers, because teachers just need a lot of teachers just need confidence. Some teachers are already out there fighting the fight anyway, but we need to like have all of us have each other's backs, because those highly visible teachers are getting so much harassment online. They're getting email campaigns to the school board telling them to fire them for being anti-Semitic, right? But when we held this workshop, it was really beautiful to see like dozens of teachers from mostly Beaverton, but some other districts come together and be so excited to learn and be so excited to get a free copy of the book. And it was really like a gift, a huge gift from Rethinking.
Stephen, do you want to add anything about resources and Rethinking Schools as a magazine, a site, web, a site, an organization with many resources around critical pedagogy and bringing social justice materials into the classroom?
Yeah, I would just add that there's also Drop the ADL is an actual source for folks that were interested in learning more about the Anti-Defamation League.
That's on the Rethinking Schools website.
No, they have their own website. I believe it's droptheadl.org.
And that explains some of the history of this resolution. And there's been organizing around this for quite some time, as I understand it. Well, Ellen, did you want to add anything? There's another book you were
I can
interested
make
in
a couple
promoting.
more plugs. Jesse
Okay.
Hagopian is one of the editors of the Teaching Palestine book, and he's the editor for Rethinking Schools. And he also put out the book Teach Truth: The Struggle for Anti-Racist Education. He's using this book to talk to teachers about the importance of teaching controversial issues and ethnic studies and Black history. But he's also trying to organize Teach Truth Days of Action, which I believe are going to be in June. I think we had one in June this past year, too. And so, yeah, I just want to make that plug. Jesse Hagopian is also on the steering committee of Black Lives Matter at school. So all of these Rethinking Schools people are really great people to follow.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and your spirit of determination of continuing to do this work and holding space in the schools for students to think more critically and to kind of sort out the confusing things that are going on in the world around them. That schools are a really important place for holding a lot of the confusion and anxiety and fear that's quite pervasive right now. So, thank you so much for being with us today, and good luck with the new year.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for having us.
War isn't murder, there's money at stake. Even Kushner agrees it's good at real estate. War isn't murder, ask Netanyahu. He's got a psalm for that, he's got a bomb for you. War isn't murder, it's an old desert faith. It's a nation state sanctioned righteous hate. Let's talk about dead people. I mean, a dead people. War is a murder, it's the vengeance of God. If you can't see the bodies, they don't blow when they rot. And the flies don't swarm, and the children don't cry. If war is a murder, good men don't die. So in a short 20 years, will you vacation the strip? Try not to think about the dead, and have a nice trip.